we begin this evening, let's mark our songbooks at number 348, Almost Persuaded. Number 348 will be our invitation song after Wesley's lesson this evening. And I did hand out a list of song leaders. Bruce, do you feel like leading a song or one song? Okay. Then how about leading the song after Gary? And so after Bruce leads the song, then we'll be having Wesley. Did you have a scripture reading?
June 17th.
Pardon me?
June 17th.
Okay, then after Bruce leads, then we'll have our scripture reading, and then we'll have our lesson by Wesley. First song this evening will be number 203. Above the Bright Blue, number 203. Verses 1, 2, and 3. After we sing 203, I'll ask Richard if he would to direct our minds in prayer. There's a beautiful place called heaven. It is hidden above the bright blue, where the good who from earth eyes are riven on, live in love and eternity through.
Beautiful city of
554. The King's Business, number 554. Verses 1, 2, and 3.
Around the Sing number 656. Number 656. All life comes from thee.
Lord God Almighty, thy strong and created sky and sea, and lifted from the sea dry land, and caused all life to be.
Number 267, Jesus loved me. 267.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones in him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes.
Yes, Jesus loves me.
Number five, How Great Thou Art. I moved to the Antelope Valley in 1990, and I had a lot of friends that said, "What on earth do you like about the desert?" I said, "Sunsets and sunrises. Spectacular." I don't know if you've been watching the past few days, but Thursday night blew me away. Just blew me away. But I see a lot of things in the course of my week and day, and this song always comes to mind. It's just, the heavens declare the glory of God. Psalm 19. Okay, number five.
No song.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the
Yeah. All right, fine.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, virgins of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story.
To be a child of God each day.
Let me ever work with a willing hand in the service of thy King, guided by his word, leading each of them in the service of thy King.
Scripture reading is from Jude, the book of Jude, verse 17 through 23. I'll be reading from the New American Standard. But you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saying to you, in the last time there will be mockers following after their own ungodly lusts. These are the ones who cause divisions, worldly-minded, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life, and have mercy on some who are doubting, save others, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. And that's Jude, verse 17 through 23.
This evening, I would like to turn our attention to the book of Jude. I guess I want to look at this book because in 25 verses, Jude kind of sums up what a good portion of the Bible teaches. And while detail is nice to fall back on, sometimes brevity is enough to grab someone's attention. So my hope this evening is that we will be able to look at what Jude is telling us in verses 17 through 23 and try to see what all we are supposed to be doing as Christians. So let me reread verses 17. But you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first lesson. Remember. So what were they to remember? Verse 18 says, in the last time there will be mockers, following after their own ungodly lusts. Now, if you have footnotes in your Bible, you might have the following verses listed. Acts 20:29, 1 Timothy 4:1, and 2 Timothy 3:1. Now, obviously, these verses are listed because something very similar was being said. Acts 20:29 talks about savage wolves coming in to devour the flock. 1 Timothy 4:1 says some will fall because they pay attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. And I think Paul really says it best in 2 Timothy. So please turn there with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. Remember. Remember what we were warned about. We have to remember that people are out there who are trying to deceive us, trying to lure us, trying to make us stumble. And we must remember what was written to us by all those inspired men so long ago. When we remember what we are commanded, nothing can cause us to fall. And I said that they were people of this world, but that's not always the case. Jude 19 says that these mockers mentioned in verse 18 can cause divisions. Now, I've never been in a church where a division has occurred because of some type of issue. And I hope that I never have to experience that. But I have heard of divisions. I have heard of churches splitting up in certain situations. And I've got some good friends who live in Bowling Green, Kentucky. And if I understand the situation correctly, there was a church up there where some people took it upon themselves to think outside of the box. Some years ago, these individuals who generally consisted of younger people, approximately my age, maybe a little older, they decided that they had enough of the so-called traditional worship format. They wanted to do things differently. I guess they were bored, maybe. And to an extent, I can see some of the points that they were making. We can become so used to what we do every Sunday that we do it out of habit. And it's the same format from all churches have been using for years. So we do have a tendency to sink into our routine without really thinking about it. But some of the practices that I've heard of them doing, in my mind, are wrong. It seems that they have become swept up in what most of the rest of the world is doing with religion. Let's do the things that make us feel good. God wants us to be happy. The worship needs to be more about us and how we feel and less about God. And that's just ridiculous. The verse just comes to mind about itchy ears in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. So if you look down in the next chapter, 2 Timothy 4, verse 3 says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their tears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths." These people can be found in our own churches. They seek out their own, and they slowly seep into the minds of other people. But we need to be sober, as verse 5 says, "But you, be sober in all things. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry." In other words, remember. Remember what we have read and be ready to help others remember as well. Jude then tells us how we can help ourselves to remember in verse 20 by telling us to build ourselves up on our most holy faith. So what happens when you build something? Well, obviously it gets bigger, and majority of the time it gets stronger. A wall that is continuously built becomes very strong. The same goes for our faith. Jude tells us to build ourselves up in the faith, meaning that he wants us to increase the size and strength of our faith. Much like a bricklayer doesn't stop with one row of bricks, we can't stop with our faith. We must study our Bibles, and this is where we can apply some of the things that we remember. Like 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, "Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." And 1 Peter 3:15, "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart, always being ready to make a defense to anyone who asks an account of the hope that is in you, with gentleness and reverence." That's how we remember. We study. We prepare. Kids, I know you hate memorizing verses. I hated memorizing verses. It's not because I didn't want to learn the Bible. It was mostly because it took a whole lot of effort that I didn't want to apply myself to. But I know if you don't take that effort, you're going to regret it. You're going to end up finding yourself in a situation that most of us have probably found ourselves in at least once. someone asks you a question, they ask you an account of the hope that is in you, and you can't answer it. Or I'll take it one step further to something that I know has happened to me, and I'll readily admit it. They ask you a question, and I fired back that memory verse that I learned when I was little. And I was just sitting there thinking all smug to myself, oh, they're not going to be able to deny that. And then they point something out to me, and then I can't answer their question. And that's when I realized I had simply memorized it. I hadn't bothered to learn really what it meant or why it was being said. We realize that we were following blindly. And that's why 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 is such a great verse. It tells us to study, not memorize. Memorizing is not learning. I know, I memorized a lot for school, and I wouldn't be able to tell you half the things that I memorized because I never actually learned it. Build yourself up in the faith by studying. Build yourself up in the faith by searching the scriptures daily. And never give up. No one has ever studied enough to the point where they need to stop studying. Because what happens when they don't? They forget. And for the 100th time, study to remember. Verse 21 says, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life." Keeping ourselves in the love of God is a very simple yet hard thing to do. Turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. We'll read verses 21, 23, and 24. John 14, 21. "He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him." Verse 23. "Jesus answered and said to him, 'If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me.'" So we find that keeping God's commandments keeps us in his love. So let's look at some examples. Judges is a great book for this. Israel at the time was constantly seesawing between evil and God. Judges chapter 3, beginning of verse 4, says, in speaking of the nations that are still remaining in Canaan, "They were for testing Israel to find out if they would obey the commandments of the Lord, which he had commanded their fathers through Moses. The sons of Israel lived among the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And they took their daughters for themselves as wives, and gave their own daughters to their sons and served their gods. The sons of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and forgot the Lord their God, and served the Baals and the Asheroth." Now here's the kicker. Pay attention to this in verse 8. "Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, so that he sold them into the hands of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the sons of Israel served Cushan-Rishathaim 8 years. They forgot about God. They didn't do his commandments. They did evil in his sight. And they were punished. But one of God's greatest qualities is his forgiveness. Even when we have spent years intentionally disobeying him and resisting him, when we truly come back to him, he forgives us and lets us back in his love. As witnessed in verse 9, when the sons of Israel cried to the Lord raised up a deliverer for the sons of Israel to deliver them, Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. We have also been given a deliverer. That was Jesus. He can deliver us from our sins if we choose to keep his commandments. And in keeping his commandments, we show our love for God. But Jesus can only be our deliverer if we choose him to be." And that's where the second part of verse 21 kicks in. "Waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life." The concept of mercy can be a difficult one for us to understand when we're actually in that situation, when we're the ones who have to show mercy. At least it is for me. Maybe it isn't for everyone, but I know it is for me. We don't want mercy to be shown to the guy who's killed 30 people just for the fun of it. Or for those who are younger, we don't want mercy to be shown to the kid who broke our favorite toy. That was our favorite toy. We want them to be punished. But Jesus shows us mercy. He has shown us a path that leads to mercy, which is why Jude says, "Look for the mercy of our Lord." Seems like people forget that part these days. We forget to look. We just assume that we have it when it's really not the case. I don't know if you pay this much attention, but the points that Jude are making are building on top of each other. We are to remember what we've been told, then we are to build our faith using what we remember and what we continue to learn, then keep ourselves in the love of God by faithfully following the commandments that we are supposed to remember. And now we get to the part that says if we're doing all this correctly, then we're looking for the mercy and we will find it. Jesus has shown us his path of mercy. As Titus chapter 2 verses 11 through 13 say, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus." It is our task to look for this mercy. Not only will we look for it by keeping his commandments, we will find it also. In the last verse, verse 23, says, "Save others, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy, with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh." Save others. See the nice progression that Jude makes? Remember, build, keep in the love, seek his mercy, and finally, when you have discovered the right path, when you have his mercy in your sights, save others. When Paul entered a city, one of the first things he did was go into the synagogue to proclaim the word of God. He spent years traveling just to preach the word that others might be saved. He suffered through stonings, whippings, shipwrecks, snake bites, imprisonment, all so he could spread the word. All of the apostles were persecuted. All but one were killed for it. And it's interesting to think, because of so few men, nearly 2,000 years later, we are all sitting here today. All because they told someone, who told someone, who told someone, and so on, until finally it reached us. We must spread the word as well, but to do that, we must remember the things that we've been taught and build our own faith, or else we will be torn down. But Jude does mention one note of caution. Be fearful, he says. Why should we be fearful? So that we are not enticed, so that we do not become one of the lost. These same sentiments are also found in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, where Paul says, "Brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted." So in other words, we need to be prepared. And we need to set our minds and our eyes and our everything on obtaining the mercy of the Lord. Do you see now why Jude is kind of a summary of what the New Testament teaches? For the sake of time, we didn't read the whole the previous 16 verses. But in these 25 verses, we are told who to watch out for, why, and how we can be prepared, how we can be ready. And how are we ready? I know you're probably getting tired of hearing this, but it's by remembering what we've been taught, and that there are those out to deceive us. It involves building ourselves up in the faith. It involves keeping ourselves in God's love and looking for his mercy. And it involves saving others by spreading his word. Jude wrote this a long time ago, yet it seems so applicable today, when I at least feel like everyone is trying to tell me that it's not necessary, that some of these things aren't necessary, that faith only will get you saved, or that being just a generally good person is fine. Jude helps me when I begin to waver, and I hope that it has helped you today as well. We have discussed this evening about obtaining the mercy of the Lord by keeping his commandments, and one of which is baptism for the remission of sins. If you have studied and come to the correct conclusion that only baptism into Jesus Christ will save you, then we offer you a chance to do that this evening. If at one point your eyes were set on the path that looks to God's mercy, but you have wavered since and have realized that, we hope that you would set yourself right in God's eyes so that you may enter into his love again and find his mercy. Please do so this evening as we stand and sing.